everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, we're just very close to, well, I guess we don't get those excessive heat warnings unless it goes. It was 108 yesterday, so we're getting.
That's probably borderline.
Yeah, I would think so. But
I think when we get around 110 or so.
Well, I hate to say it, but
you know, interestingly,
it's eerily familiar of last summer. Go ahead.
These forecasts that we're having for these rains, they keep repeating. We're going to have, by Monday and Tuesday and the middle of the week, we're going to have 15-60% chance of rains. They're predicting it again.
Well, they keep doing that to keep our interest up. Otherwise, we would be very depressed because there is a very weird similarity this summer to last year's non-soon. It's Friday, July the 9th, 2021. You're on 1030 Tucson's trusted source for news talk. The radio station is KVOI. Your host is Bill Buckmaster. 10.5 years now with this radio project, with our worldwide live listening podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, we like to do our media shout out to our media friends who have supported us since we launched the radio project. TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith, thanks, Dylan, for your support. The Green Valley News and Soharita Sun, that's Dan Shear and his gang. We appreciate that. Of course, Jim Ninsel over at the Tucson Weekly and their portfolio of publications, which includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. With me in studio, the 2019 Arizona Press Club Columnist of the Year Award winner, Tim Steller, who has been covering really the border since 1997, and he's still working on that Pulliam Fellowship that was awarded him in Are you no longer working
Not
on
really,
it?
Not really, yeah.
You just shook your head.
Yeah, I'm kind
First of all, it
I've
is,
eased out of that.
Okay, well, congratulations on when you did get it and what you have done with it. But I want to say, Tim, this is your first visit back into the studio. We've had you telephonically through the pandemic, but this is the first time I've seen you pre-pandemic. And I saw some pictures of you, of course, on Facebook, and you did get You had the shoulder length hair, which
really.
you've kind of moderated a little bit, and you've trimmed up the mustache and the little bit of a beard there. So you're looking good.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it. Yeah, haircuts have been hard to come by, and I get shaggy really fast.
Well, our guest always looks sharp. He is prominent Phoenix attorney Grant Woods. Mr. Woods served as the Arizona Attorney General from 1991 to 1999. Grant was the late Senator John McCain's chief of staff when John McCain was a congressman. He was a longtime friend and confidant of the senator and delivered a eulogy at Senator McCain's funeral in 2018. That same year, Grant Woods was considered a moderate to liberal Republican. He left the GOP and became a Democrat. Grant, how are you? Looking good, I'm sure. You've got your the Phoenix Suns, what is it, Valley Rally T-shirt on?
I've got everything imaginable Suns going here because I definitely have the fever here. It's been so long since we were in the finals. I was Attorney General when we were in the finals.
That's true.
So,
wow.
It's very exciting though, and. And I just tell Tim, I wish I could have hair down to my shoulders. if I could, I would. Those were the days.
It's a mixed blessing.
Grant, have you heard from Senator Sinema since your, it was pretty much picked up by most of the national media that you kind of had gone a little bit sour on that relationship with her, and you have been a prominent backer of the senator. In fact, as I recall, not only did you endorse her, and the campaign featured you in one of her ads.
Yeah, she opened her campaign with my ad and closed it with that ad. And look, if it was between Kyrsten Sinema and Martha McSally, I'm all for Sinema. But But you know, that was a couple years ago, and I would say for me the jury's out on Senator Sinema. We'll see, and I'm hopeful, but I just think that you know, I'm interested in the substance, and there's an awful lot of other stuff surrounding her, and I don't find that particularly important or interesting. So, you know, we'll see how she performs. But so there's a couple of areas in particular. One is I am opposed to the filibuster, period, and I think it should be abolished. And Kirsten wrote an editorial, I think in the Washington Post or something, telling why she supported the filibuster, and I honestly thought it was nonsense. I thought it was it made no sense to me, and I reject it. Now, that doesn't mean reasonable minds can't differ on that. They obviously do, but I think we should get rid of the filibuster. I think that, you know, where do you want to start? The school board in Tucson? You want to start with the city council, the board of supervisors, the legislature? We don't have minority rules in this country. We don't require super majorities to do anything. If the city council wants to pass something, if they can pass it 5-4, they pass it 5-4. That's how it works. I don't see these same so-called conservatives at the Arizona legislature saying, hey, why don't we make sure we have 2/3 on any matter in the state Senate before it can go forward. They don't do that because they're not serious. They're all about power. And if Kirsten hasn't figured that out yet, that's her folly, because times have changed. And that's all I can tell you. You know, when I first went to Washington, I was in college. I was an intern for minority leader John Rhodes from Arizona. Barry Goldwater was, our senator. And maybe in those days, things were different, and this idea of everybody working together for consensus made sense. But if you haven't noticed, it's just not the way it is now, and it's not the way for Schumer, and it's not the way for McConnell. So McConnell's made it very clear he wants to. His goal is to stop everything that the president does, and if he was to become majority leader again in 2 years or in 4 years, then this filibuster be out the window again. Under some excuse. So I don't know why she's on that. And but specifically also, I will say, on voting rights in particular, they need to waive the filibuster. And if she doesn't vote to waive the filibuster to protect voting rights in Arizona and across the country, then I would have a very hard time supporting her going forward. Again, reasonable minds can differ on the filibuster in general. But since they're making exceptions, if you can't make an exception to preserve democracy in this country, then that's just a fundamental disagreement that I could not get over.
I noticed online that you said our democracy is at stake. What do you mean when you say that? I mean, is it really that dire? And how could her rejecting the filibuster help correct that or preserve a democracy, I should say?
Well, yeah, I do think it's at stake. Again, let's just say on infrastructure, you know, because the question of the filibuster is appropriate there too. But you know, we can disagree or agree on the filibuster and or on the infrastructure rather. Is it, you know, do we need a skinny version? Do we need a big version? These are the traditional arguments that we have on policy. That's where you're at on policy. But what's going on in this country is very serious, and it's gone on in Arizona as well. And that is, I believe that in these swing states in particular, the Republicans have decided that their only hope in the short term to prevail politically is to suppress the vote. And under the guise of preserving the integrity of elections, they're passing and are preparing to implement voter suppression measures across the country. And there's one in particular that is the most serious to me, and that is this idea that the legislature could take away from the Secretary of State or the courts or anybody else the ability to affirm elections. In other words, you know, they kind of floated around that in Arizona and other places this last time, but they didn't have the power to do it. But legislatively, they're trying to say that they could step in, they could declare that regardless of the results that had been affirmed, that they're going to change the results. That's the end of the democracy as we know it. And all these other suppression measures, making it more difficult for people to vote, and particularly minorities to vote, it's anti-democratic. In my view, it's un-American, and it can be. We're not going to be able to cure it state by state here. Obviously, they passed it, but you can cure it by voting to preserve it on a national basis to basically outlaw those sort of measures. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is to get rid of the filibuster for these voting rights, and the president will pass it, president will sign it, and then we can have more of a level playing field going forward.
Along those lines, what did you think about the ruling in the Brnovich case before the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I didn't like it. You know, it was predictable, and it just shows the problems that we have here. You know, basically, the court has moved to a position where I think common sense in the area, common sense in general doesn't prevail when we're talking about voting rights, because common sense would tell you that. You just know that some things just aren't right. I think one of the examples I remember from the questioning in that case, in the oral argument, was, and I can't remember who it was, Sotomayor, one of them said, "Now look, if you shut down voting sites in poorer areas, and you place that voting site at the country club, the Paradise Valley Country Club, and you say it's going to be between 8 and 5." Well, maybe on its face, you're saying, well, we shut down one and we opened another, a new one. And so we can't show that on its face, there's something wrong with it. But common sense tells you, doesn't it, that that's not right. Working people aren't going to be able to travel over to the Paradise Valley Country Club to go vote. They've never been there. They don't know where it is. And I think so what's happened is, and then we also can't look at, with special scrutiny on certain places like Arizona that have had voting rights problems before. They deserve special scrutiny if they've screwed it up before. So I think we're moving away from common sense, which has been used in the recent past, to just make sure that we take a look at these measures and they're not allowed to suppress the vote. They're just allowed because this is how a particular state wants to do it. You can have different states doing different things, but the purpose of it should not be to keep minorities from voting or to keep a certain political party in favor.
We're going to take a break right here, Grant Woods. But before we do, and before we leave, Senator Sinema, the AP had a think piece carried here in the Arizona Daily Star, and the AP writer said that she is modeling her approach and her career on the renegade style of Senator McCain. A brief comment, if you will, on that.
Well, you know, John was more than willing to work with anybody who would work with him, and I think that's admirable. And Kirsten's doing that to some extent herself. Again, it's 2021. It's not 1996, and it's just things are different today. And so I see her parading around with Senator Cornyn from Texas, and that we're going to work together and we're going to solve these border issues because Senator Cornyn's really going to step up on that. Good luck on that. He never has stepped up. He's been part of the problem. We would have had this solved a long time ago. So I don't know what's going on there. It sounds good, but I'll just say, I knew John McCain. I was a very good friend of John McCain's, and she's no John McCain. She needs to focus on being Kyrsten Sinema and the best that she can be, and we'll see how it works out. Like I said, I think the jury's out.
All right. We're speaking with former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods. He is our Friday Focus interview today. It's the Buckmaster Show. Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star is with me in studio. The studio, our studio presenter, the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. And our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Grant Woods, right after the break.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Former Attorney General Grant Woods with us on the live line. We always enjoy talking with the former Attorney General, with Grant, getting his views on politics and a lot of other things. Tim Steller is with me in studio, well-known columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Grant, Tim brought up Brnovich. What do you think his chances are? Is he the front runner in this field, this growing field of Republican candidates?
Well, you know, I hope so. I think Mark's a good guy, and I've known him for a long time. I hired him at the AG's office way back when. So I hope he's the front runner. But I don't know anymore on as far as the Republican Party and the type of people that they nominate. So I don't know. It's a new day of the Republican Party, and I don't pretend to totally understand it. You know, people like myself have all left, and people have become independents or Democrats. So I'm not sure he should be the front runner. But having said that, I never even heard of these other two guys.
Huh.
So that's how much I know about it. I don't know who they are, but that doesn't mean they can't blow in and, you know, spend a bunch of money and win. But I would think Brnovich would be the favorite.
Let me ask you, is there a wing of the Republican Party in Arizona that is not aligned with the former president, Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, they have a dilemma. That wing, I would say, would be kind of the Chamber of Commerce Country Club Republican, which is kind of a traditional Republican. And so they like their tax cuts and lack of regulation and things like that, but they don't like to be associated with Trump or some of his supporters. So they have a dilemma there. So mainly they stay quiet.
Is that where Ducey falls in right now?
I think so. Yeah,
yeah, I would think so. But what is his future? Any thoughts on that?
I don't know. I don't know that he has much of a future in the short term, just because he kind of moved into Jeff Flake territory, and he was disliked by the right and the left. The difference is, in my view, Flake moved into that territory based upon principle, because he did the right thing in his mind and mine, and he knew he would pay a price, but he's willing to pay the price. Ducey somehow stumbled into it by trying to be all things to all people, and yet there he is. So I don't know what the future is for him. I think the future would be probably to have a Republican president in 24 and get appointed to something.
Mm-hmm. Here's Tim Steller of the Star.
I think it was earlier this week, the Republic published a story showing that Rudy Giuliani, Kelly Ward, and some other people, I think that attorney, if not Lynn Wood, the Kraken attorney whose name escaped, Sidney Powell, all weighed in and tried to influence Pima County supervisors as far as how to handle the election and trying to get a recount or to try to stop the counting in Kelly Ward's case. So that was a pretty big story based on public records. And this, after it came out, Katie Hobbs, the Secretary of State, who was running for governor on the Democratic side, asked Mark Brnovich, who's Attorney General, to investigate. What do you think he should do?
Well, you know, I think an investigation is in order there. I think as far as Trump and Giuliani, my understanding is that they sought to influence things, but the supervisors didn't return their calls and, definitely avoided that situation, which was smart. I don't know how you make a case on that, that they made a phone call. But with Kelly Ward, we have her on tape there asking or almost demanding that the count be stopped. And so, she's trying to persuade or tell, as party chairman, someone in her party who's in elected office to stop the count and so that their side could prevail. That's much closer to a crime. And I would think that should be looked at. And I don't know if the attorney general feels that his office is appropriate to do it now, because he's very prominently out there running for office, but he could give it to someone else.
I've been interested listening to you and watching. You probably know I've been very critical of Mark Brnovich for doing for pursuing a lot of what I consider very partisan activities in the Attorney General's office. And even here, you indirectly criticized him for his voting rights stand in the mm-hmm. case that's named after him. But you are still a fan of his. I don't quite understand that.
Yeah. Well, first, I like him personally, and I think he's I think he's someone who tries to do the right thing. And you know, it's no question that we disagree on issues, and we will continue to disagree on issues, and we will disagree on who should be the next senator from Arizona, because it should be Mark Kelly, in my view. Okay, there's that. But there's also two other things. I learned from George H.W. Bush. I watched him very closely. And even though he was not thrilled with some of the things that President Clinton was doing, he refused to criticize him. And that has kind of that went forward until recently, until Obama decided to step out and criticize Trump, which I agreed with, because it was just that was in a new dimension what Trump was doing. But if just because you disagree on certain things, I think it's better not to be criticizing the specific decisions of your successors. And the reason is, you know, they got enough to do, and you don't always know all the details, and all, you don't have all the information that they have. And so I think it's better to take a pass. I'm not bashful about criticizing anyone, really, as a rule. But in the AG's world, I think it's better to pass on that. And then lastly, I still work with the AGs around the United States and with the Arizona Attorney General's office on a variety of issues for the public good. And I've been working very hard, for example, on opioids and our lawsuits against the opioid manufacturers and distributors. I represent Pima County and the city of Tucson in these lawsuits. We settled yesterday with Purdue Pharma, finally, who was the worst offender, but more to come. And I will say the AG's office, in this case, in the opioids situation, behind the scenes, what people don't see, they've been excellent. And primarily they've been excellent in putting politics aside, putting personal gain aside, and just saying what's best for Arizona. How do we maximize this ultimate settlement so that Arizona benefits the most? Meaning that in our case, meaning Pima and Tucson, that we get as much money as possible out into the community to abate this opioid crisis in treatment and in, you know, all the things that we can, education and other things that we can do. They've been great at that. So once again, you know, there's going to be plenty of people like yourself, you know, criticizing Brnovich, and that's fine. I think with that particular office, given that I was attorney general, that I work with the AGs, it's better for me to just say, you know, we disagree on many issues. That's fine. But I'm not going to be out there firing at him personally. I won't do it.
This is the first I've heard of this settlement. Could we hear a little bit more about this opioid settlement here in Pima County? Sure. What kind of money is involved here in this settlement, please, Grant Woods?
Well, you know, that remains to be seen. And I can't tell you how complicated it is. I mean, it's bizarre. It's not like anything else. Normally you could say, okay, Pima's going to get X amount and Tucson's going to get X amount. And it's a long story. Believe me, we don't have time. I've literally spent a good portion of the last several years on this. And not just for Pima and Tucson, but I will say that the folks in Pima County administration and in Tucson have allowed myself and my co-counsel to go out and work with the other counties, many of whom are unrepresented, and to work with the state and to work with other cities and to see if we can't come up with something that, again, is going to maximize what we're going to do. But we have a settlement with Purdue. Ultimately, that'll mean that X amount of dollars will go to Pima and Tucson over a course of 9 years. Okay. Wow. Now, we're going to, that's the bigger money is, they're in bankruptcy. That's the problem with them. We're on the verge of settlement, and we're hopeful of settlement with Johnson & Johnson, who's one of the manufacturers who is an offender here, and with three of the big distributors. And if we get that done, which I'm hopeful it will happen soon, then that will be something where, in the case of Johnson & Johnson, over the course of several years, and in the case of the three distributors, or in the course of over the next 18 years, a lot of money would come to Pima and Tucson. And we'll be able to, once we figure it all out, be precise on that. But and what we've done in Arizona, though, and this is no secret, is we were the first state to do this. And we set the trend, although many subsequently haven't followed, and that's dumb on their part. We eliminated the bureaucracy. We eliminated the middleman. And so when this money comes in, what we agreed upon in Arizona with the attorney general is that all of the money, 100% of the money here, that goes to cities and counties and to the state is going to go toward the opioid problem. In many states, they say, well, 60% will go there, or 70% is kind of the norm. But then that means that you have 15% where the state can spend on whatever they want to, or 15% the county and the cities could spend on whatever they want to. We want it all to go to opioids. And that allows us then to really tackle the problem. And I go back to my tobacco experience. In Arizona, we went to the people through referendum, and all of our tobacco money has gone toward health related issues. That's what we required. Other states didn't do that, and many of them blew their money completely. Some of them sold off the income stream and took the cash and balanced their budget or did whatever they did with it. We didn't do that in Arizona. And we're coming up on about a $2 billion number with a B in Arizona that we've gotten from the tobacco settlement that we did while I was attorney general. And this is in perpetuity, so it will only continue to go forward. So I didn't want... And again, the Attorney General's office was very strong on this, as was the Pima County Attorney, as is the Pima County Attorney, and the City Council in Tucson. We want the money not to be used for potholes and whatever else is dreamed up. We want it to go so that we can get the treatment to people who are currently addicted to opioids, so that we can educate doctors and the general public of the problems of these pain pills and how quickly you can become addicted, and so that we can solve this opioid problem. And I'm telling you, Bill and Tim, in tobacco, we were doing our best, but we didn't know whether we'd have an impact or not. And ultimately, we did. Teen smoking, underage smoking went from 29% in the United States when we did our settlement. Today it's at 4%. The majority of people smoked. And now they don't. And so we didn't know if it would work. I'm telling you, with this opioid problem, if we handle it right in Arizona, we can wipe out this opioid problem. We can treat it. There's only 3 million people in the United States that are addicted to opioids. That's a lot. It's insane that it's that number, but it's a manageable number.
Yeah,
it's something we can get a hold of. And opioids leads to heroin. When I was attorney general, we didn't have a heroin problem in Arizona. Today we do. We have one throughout the country because that's where people go when they can no longer get the prescription pills or whatever, as they go to the street and they get heroin. So we got to get on top of it.
Okay.
We will get on top of it. And Pima County and Tucson, I'm telling you, they really helped lead the way here. And if we have a settlement, if you see one announced in the near future, Pima and Tucson deserve a great deal of the credit because they were real leaders here.
All right, Grant Woods, thank you very much. We'll see what happens with the Phoenix Suns. Are you predicting four-game sweep?
Oh, boy. No. I'm going to go Suns in five.
Okay. I think that sounds pretty darn reasonable.
I like it. But if we win Sunday,
yeah,
it could, you know, I'd say Suns in four. Big game, I mean, the Bucks have to win on Sunday or I think they're dead. But they're a really good team, but we're better.
All right. Hey, Grant, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys.
Thanks
great talking to you.
Great. Grant Woods with us on the Buckmaster Show. Tim, stick around. I've got a few things for you. Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It was good to talk with Grant Woods on the live line. Tim Steller with me from the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, that's a little bit of news that the former Attorney General of Arizona kind of broke here on the show about a settlement has been reached in Arizona, Pima County, and Tucson over opioid addiction, going after the opioid manufacturers, at least the one that he mentioned, but the problem is they're in bankruptcy.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a bit of time before we know what Pima County or and Tucson can get out of it. But yeah, he went on at some length to explain how that money can go to treatment once we get it. And that sounds like a good thing.
We had the mayor with us in studio yesterday, Mayor Regina Romero, and it sounds like the city is expecting and will. They feel they're on confident ground on the Tucson Water differential water rate controversy that has driven Tim Steller a huge wedge into Pima County, City of Tucson relations.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with her that the concept of differential rates is completely defensible legally, but there are some laws and codes, well, one law and one code that I know of that, when I say code, I'm referring to city code, that say that the water rates should be based on cost. Mm-hmm. And, the point I've been making all along about this that bothers me about the city's perspective is that they seem to have put the cart before the horse. They said, we want to raise rates on people in the unincorporated county. And then they came up with a rotating list of reasons to do that. And there may be a justifiable reason or more than one, but from my perspective, they needed to lay out what they were looking for or and then justify an increase based on that. So she may be right that they win or succeed at defending this differential rate. But I think there definitely is a place for a lawsuit that will likely be incoming, and then we'll see what happens.
And Mr. Huckleberry has other ideas, and just from what I'm hearing, that lawsuit is going to be going back to the original agreement, which goes back, I think, to the 1970s.
Yeah, I think it's 79.
So you're
going to
see
yeah.
that. That's going to be part of this, Tim Steller.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing in a way. It's in a way a good way to sort out city-county relations, which to an extent are really deeply intertwined with the issue of water, mm-hmm. Wastewater and of course, potable water. But it's also interesting in that it's part of a broader flare-up of the long-standing city-county conflict. Seems like under Mayor Romero, the city is flexing its muscles a little bit more. They were going to have a joint meeting the other day, but it got canceled. But mm-hmm. some of the areas are the pay-as-you-go road program that the mm-hmm. county has.
The future of the RTA.
The future of the RTA, the differential water rates. Mm-hmm. I think there's others, but those are the main ones. And they have a lot to sort out.
We also talked a little bit about these giant, I call them the sequoia trees of power poles that are being planned along the TEP is planning. That's the main route that's being considered mm-hmm. is along Campbell Avenue for these huge power poles. And, of course, from a cost factor for TEP, it's a lot cheaper than trying to put those things underground.
Yeah.
Not that you would put those particular poles underground, but whatever wiring.
Yeah.
Not the pole itself, but
the wires.
Just a giant pole. Yeah.
That would be funny.
But can you see those things along Campbell?
Yeah. I mean, Campbell's crowded as it is. So no wonder people are upset about it because it's, especially in that area from Grant to about Prince. It's a crowded road, maybe all the way up to River. You could say it's a crowded road.
This is the first time I've seen you since the pre-pandemic. How did you spend pretty much in isolation, but I mean, you were still working telephonically and doing yeah. reporting. It's been weird though, hasn't it?
It's been really weird. I mean, I'm just breaking out of it a bit.
You didn't go into a newsroom?
Yeah, and our newsroom closed during the pandemic. So we had been planning to move, and it would have been a smooth move from one newsroom to another, but in the middle of that transition, the pandemic hit and we figured out how everybody could work from home or from a remote spot,
from a phone booth,
yeah, if they still existed. The hardest thing was a copy desk, which really needed computer power to do their design and stuff like that. And so but eventually they got that worked out. But now we already had an existing building up in Marana that we're using to a greater extent. And separately, we are going to open a a new newsroom on Bonita in August or September.
Okay.
They're working on getting it ready for us right now.
All right. What about Sunday's paper? What are you working on?
Well, I am...
Back to the Border?
Or? Yeah, I've been interested in this issue of the suffering of border towns and Tucson, too, for that matter, because of the closure of the ports of entry to non-essential travel. You know, so therefore, under this, and this has been true since March last year, so we're talking about 16 months now, visa-holding Mexican citizens generally can't come across and do their shopping or what have you, and that's been a basis of a lot of income tax, sales tax, and profits for the retailers for a long, long time. So a lot of people are getting sick and tired of this situation.
Well, I'll look for that in the paper. I'm one of these people that still gets the paper
good.
In a hard copy.
Yeah.
It's in my driveway, on the driveway every morning. Yep. So I walk down there and get my little exercise that way. Anyway, Tim, great to see you. Thanks.
Good to see you too.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is next on the Buckmaster Show.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Time to stir it up with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive to cooler weather for sure. Oh, my goodness. 90 degrees over in Silver City. That's not too bad. But look at some of those lows coming up around 60 degrees. So, and they've been getting a lot of rain over there. Good time to take a visit to the Gila National Wilderness. Start your planning now. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org for all the information about great places to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Mr. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly food and beverage columnist. This is the Weekend Watch edition from San Diego. Hello, Matt.
Well, hello, hello. Yes, I know a thing or two about cooler weather, Bill.
Rub it in, yes.
75 for a high, 66 for a low, 75 Ooh. For a high. It Ooh. Doesn't get old, I can tell you that.
Oh, man, I can hear the ocean right now, those waves lapping at your bare feet right there on the sand.
Indeed it is.
Hey, I love gelato. Can you take care of me in that regard?
I got you covered, Bill. After taking a short summer break, the team over at Baccio Italiano on University Boulevard, they've opened their doors again with some fun ways to cool their guests down this weekend. And as you've said, they've relaunched their gelato cocktail Ooh. Program with some fun flavors, all made with scoops of that Italian frozen treat. So they start with a generous scoop of gelato, add some house-made limoncello, and top it off with a refreshing splash of White Claw seltzer. These spirituous slushies come in a variety of summer flavors. I think it's a great way to beat the Tucson heat with a bit of a kick at Baccio Italiano.
Grilled cheese got comfort food spelled all over it, Matt.
To the max. And our friends at Zona 78 on Tancredi Road, they've taken this signature sandwich to new heights with their weekly grilled cheese series. Now, these are chef-driven versions of that comfort food, and there's a different one on the menu each week. This weekend's installment in the grilled cheese series is all about house-made and melted mozzarella, and that gooey goodness is topped with tomatoes and a velvety green cilantro and avocado sauce, which kind of cascades over the fresh toasted bread. This is not your father's grilled cheese sandwich, Bill. Head to Zona 78 this weekend, have a bottle of wine, and enjoy one of this week's Epicurean grilled cheeses for yourself.
Yeah, it's good weather to have a nice cold beer. Anything going in that regard?
So happy to report some fun things on tap at Catalina Brewing Company on Sunday near Ina and I-10, starting with the release of a few new brews, including a double IPA, a pink monsoon prickly pear beer, even a hazy guava beer. Plus, there's going to be guided yoga sessions starting at 11 a.m., a special on Sonoran dogs, and at 4 o'clock, local crooner Corey Spector is going to perform his repertoire of hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I think with some good tunes, Sonoran dogs, and a brew or two, I may even consider doing yoga myself. It's all at Catalina Brewing Company on Sunday.
Back to the beach. Any quick culinary recommendations in the final few seconds from San Diego, Matt Russell?
Absolutely. We had a wonderful and memorable meal at Enoteca Adriano. In fact, met up with some friends from Tucson. Had a wonderful short rib bucatini. If you're in San Diego, any of your listeners, include Enoteca Adriano on your list. You will not be disappointed.
Back to the beach. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
On my way.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music by Christophon. Thanks to everybody here at KVOI for all of their support. The entire Bustos Media team in their support of the Buckmaster Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.